So just by way of introduction, we're going to read this Shabbos in Mitzvah Parshas Chukas, and the first part of the parasha, it deals with the Paraduma, you know, the red heifer. And there's a lot to talk about, but sometimes we miss the rest of the parasha. So I thought tonight, maybe we'd focus on a different element of the parasha. And I photocopied this text for you, just in case you like to read a text inside. I'm very textual oriented, so I like to read a text. And that's what I do. So what we're going to start with is Bamidbar Perek Chaf Aleph. So we're in Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to look at the 14th pasuk. I'm going to read to you the pasuk inside. You could see it in the first paragraph. It's bolded in your print. And what we're going to try to do is understand what is going on in this parasha, because without Rashi, it's like impossible. You don't know what's going on here. It says, Al kein ye'omer b'sefer milchamos Hashem. And about this is said in the story of the wars of God. Es vahev bisufa, that which was given at the sea of reeds, and the valleys of Amnon, es nechalim Arnon. So there's a place on the face of the earth which is called Nachal Arnon, the valley of Amnon. And in the books of the wars of Hashem, there is something unique that's going on in a place called the valley of Amnon. Right, of Arnon. So we're going to try to see what this is all about, because again, the Torah is using very cryptic language. We don't know what's going on. And then the pasuk says, "V'eshed hanechalim," which is literally translated as the outpouring of the valleys. "Asher nata l'sheves or," again, it's all very cryptic. When it veered to dwell at Ar, and then it says, Vinishan Ligvul Moav, and it leaned against the border of Moav. So these are different locations, apparently, in the trek of Bnei Yisrael going from the Midbar, from the wilderness, towards the land of Israel. And one of the places that they get to is called Nachal Arnon, and something apparently happens in Nachal Arnon. So we're going to see Rashi in just a minute. I want to read one more passage. It says, Umisham, and from there, Be'er, they went towards a well, and he, HaBe'er, that is the well, Asher Omar Hashem LeMoshe, about which Hashem said to Moshe, Esof Esha'om, assemble the people, V'etno Lahem Mayim, and I will give them water. And there's something special going on here at this point in time. So let's try to read the Rashis and see if we can get an idea. Again, this is one of those cryptic passages in all of the Torah. And we'll start with the beginning pasuk that we started with, Al kein ye'omer b'sefer milchamos Hashem. Rashi is going to tell us about a great miracle that transpired for the benefit of Klal Yisrael at this place called Nachal Arnon, which is on the border between what we call Moav, Eretz Moav, and the land of Israel. So they're at this point, they're at the end of the 40-year period. They're at a point in which Moav is surrounding them, so to speak, and they want to go through this area in order to attain the ultimate goal of entering into Eretz Yisrael. Something happens when they're about to travel between two gigantic mountains. One mountain is on the Eretz Yisrael side, and Mimulo, meaning corresponding to it on the other side, is a har in the land of Moab. So I'll just quickly read some of the words of Rashi here. I have here a translation of Rashi, which will make it a little bit quicker for us to at least get Rashi on a superficial level. And Rashi says the following. There is Israel, the people of Israel, encamped, but they did not enter the territory of Moab, for Arnon is the border of Moab, and Moab did not grant them permission to pass through their land. And although Moshe did not state this explicitly, nevertheless Yiftach did say it explicitly. So we're going to see this later on in the Nevi'im. Kemosha Omar Yiftach declares that Vagam El Melech Moav Shalach, he sent to the king of Moav, Velo Ova. In other words, Moshe asked the king of Moab if they would give him permission to pass through their land, Velo Ova, and the king of Moab refused. Moshe didn't say this explicitly, but he alluded to it in the verse, Kasher Asuli B'nei Esav Hayoshvim B'Sair. Okay, fine. So now what happens is, Moab refuses to grant permission to the people of Israel to pass through their land. Now, Al-Kain Ye'omar B'Sefer Melchamas Hashem. We're back to our first pasuk. Rashi says the following. Al-Chanoyezu, regarding this encampment, Nisim Shenasu Ba, there were great miracles that were done at this point, at this location, this encampment. And it will be said in the story of the wars of Hashem that this, Kishem Esaprim Nisim, when they tell the miracles, Shenasla Vesem, which are done for our forethoughts, Yisapru, they will certainly relate the great miracle of Es Vahev Vigomer. Correct? Whereas our pasuk says Ves Vahev, which is the sea of reeds, and then Nachal Arnon. Ves Vahev. Now, Vahev is a Hebrew word that means that which was given, Kamo Yahev. And Rashi gives you a little bit of an insight into the grammar of the word Vahev and Yahev. So something is being given, and he says the following. What's being given here? So Rashi says, Es asher Yahev lahem, that which he bestowed upon them, Vehirba Nisim, and he did many miracles, B'yamsuf. Okay, fine. So the first part of this verse is an allusion to the great miracles that took place at the Sea of Reeds at Yamsuf, and Vahev means that God gave this miracle, he bestowed it upon the people. And then Besufa, which is a reference to Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds. Okay, but what happens at Nacholim Arnon? That's the last three words. The last three words in this verse. Says Rashi, and the valleys of Arnon, just as they tell of the miracles of the Red Sea, meaning these books about the wars of God that describe the miracles, and they talk about the great miracles of Vahev Bisufa, which is Yamsuf, Kach Yesh L'Saper. There is to tell Binisei Nachale Arnon of the miracles of the valleys of Arnon. Sha'af Khan, here too, Nasu Nisim Gedolim, great miracles were done. Umahema miracles. Mahema Nisim. What are these miracles? Again, we're talking about miracles that are as great as the splitting of the Red Sea. You know, we know about the splitting of the Red Sea. We sing all these Yashar on a daily basis. But who sings a song about Nachal Arnon? But according to Rashi, the way he's interpreting it, we should be singing songs of praise for this great miracle. So what happens at Nachal Arnon? And he says the following. It says here in the Pasuk, Eshed Hanechalim, and we want to know what the word Eshed means. In the English translation, he calls it the outpouring. The outpouring of the valley. So what does that mean? So he says the following. If you look in the Targum, which is the Aramaic translation of this outpouring, he says that Shefach HaNechfalim, the outpouring of the valleys, Shenishpach Shom Dam Amorim, that's where the blood of the Amorites was spilled. What does it mean? Shahoyu Nechboim Shom. The Amorites were hiding there. What does it mean they were hiding there? They were waiting in ambush, if you will. Lefi Shahoyu Harim Gedolim, there were great mountains, very high mountains. Ve'anachal Amok Ve'katzar, the valley was very deep between these high mountains, and it was very narrow. Ve'harim Smuchim Lezelezeh, so one mountain was near another. is Adam Omed Al Harzeh. A person could stand on the mountain on one side, and it was so close to the other side, Medabrim Chaver could speak with his friend who stood on the other mountain. That's how tight the mountains were. Haderech over betoch hanachal, the road, and the Bnei Yisrael were traveling through this road, passes between the valley, through the valley. Omru Amorim. So the Amorites declared, Kshi Kansul Yisrael l'toch nachal, when the Jewish people were entered this nachal called Arnon, which is a small passageway between two very high mountains. So the Israelites are now l'toch nachal Arnon, lavar, when they go deep into the valley in order to pass through. Neitze min ha'maoros, we're going to come out of the caves, shebeharim, of these mountains, these two mountains on both sides. Shemilamala mehem, and we're going to be above them. Vinar game, and we will kill them. Bechitzim, with arrows. Viavne blisteros, and with stones. In other words, they're basically, the Jewish people are now sitting ducks because we're equipped with all the, what word am I looking for? All the weapons or?
Machine guns.
The machine guns of that time, and we're located above them on both mountains. They have nowhere to run.
Like in 1967.
Vayu Osama Nekaim Bahar Shal Tzad Moav. These caves in which the Amorites hid were hollow, and they were on the mountain on the Moavite side. But not only that, he says that there were hollows also on the other side of the mountain. The mountain, the side of the mountain that was on the close to the Israel border side. So he says the following, that the Amorim were hidden in these caves on the mountain on the Moabite side, Ubahar Shal Tzad Amorim, and on the mountain on the side of the Amorites. V'hoyu kineged osam nekoyim. Now opposite these hollows were kemin kronos v'shadayim. They were horn-like and breast-like projections. Bolted lechutz, that protruded outwards. So you follow what happens on one side, which is on the Moabite side. There are crevices and what he calls hollows. Hollows means nekoyim. Nekoyim are hollows. And on the other mountain, on the other side, there are protruding projections. Bolted lechutz. Kevan shebo Yisrael lavar, once the people of Israel came to pass through the valley, nizdazea hahar shel Eretz Yisrael, the mountain on the land that was closest to the land of Israel, meaning the land of the Amorites, trembled. He says nizdazea, the mountain trembled. Kishivcha hayotzeis lahakbil pnei gverta. Rashi gives a mashal of a slave woman who goes out to greet her mistress. She's overwhelmed with fear. V'niskarev litzad har shel Moav. Now the har that's on the Amorai side, which is the Eretz Yisrael side, comes close to the side of the mountain of Moav. V'nichnesu osam hashadayim, these projections enter l'toch osam nekoyim, into the hollows on the other side. V'haragum, and killed the Amorites. And this is the meaning of the pasuk asher nata l'sheves Ar, when it veered to dwell at Ar. Shahar nata v'mkom, the mountain veered from its location. V'niskariv l'tzad Moav, Kevin coming close to the side of Moav. V'nidbak bo, the two mountains joined together. V'zeu, and this is what the pasuk means, and leaned against the border of Moab. The Avru Yisrael al Haharim, and the Israelites passed by these mountains. Lo Yadu Nisim Elu, they weren't even aware of these miracles. In other words, the miracle took place so high above them, and they were so low below the valley that they didn't even know about this miracle. God is bringing them a great miracle to save them. They would have been destroyed. Elal Yidei Haber Shenichnesu L'Sham. He says when they entered into the scene of the Be'er, that's when they became aware of the miracles. Now he has a footnote here. He says the following. He says that there's some sort of connection from between this miracle and the Be'er. Now he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. If you have done something, a favor for someone else, you have to make sure that they know about this favor, because that's going to strengthen the friendly relationship. So he says that God reveals to the people of Israel this great miracle only when they reach the Be'er. Okay, that's what we have from Rashi.
The water was red.
Okay. Now, if you take a look here in the middle column, again, if you like to follow the text, we have a pasuk in Tehillim that we recite every morning, and it says, Zichru Niflo, so we should remember the great miracles of Hashem Asher Asa, Mof Tov U'Mishpatei Fiv. So when we study these Rashis and we learn about the great miracles, not just the Kriyas Yamsuf, which we know about from Parshas Veshalach, but now in Parshas Chukas, we know about another great miracle that takes place. We are now fulfilling this dictum, this mandate of David HaMelech, of Zichru Niflosav, that we should appreciate the miracles of God, the beauty of this great miracle that took place at Nachal Arnon. And we'll fulfill this great opportunity of remembering the wonders of God. So Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. For 40 years, they're going through the Midbar, through the desert, from one place to the other. And many things occur, many, so to speak, adventures or enterprises happen during that 40-year period. Some of them are positive, others are negative. And they're on the way to enter into Eretz Yisrael after 40 years, to the land of Zovas Chol V'Dvash. They just have to go through one last passageway, which is called Nachal Arnon, the Valley of Arnon. It's very deep, it's very narrow, and this valley separates between two gigantic mountains. On one side it's Eretz Yisrael, and on the other side it's Moab. So we're talking about 600,000 Elef Ragli. We're talking about males between the age of 20 and 60 who number 600,000, including the women and the children. We're probably talking about 3 million people going through a very narrow nachal, and they have no clue about the great miracle that's about to take place, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before they enter into the nachal, decides that he's going to save them from death. And how does he do so? By bringing these two mountains together to crush the enemy. But Eich Yuchol Adas, how could they know that the Amorim that heard about their trek, I mean, the Amorim were very overwhelmed with fear. We're going to see that in Sefer Yoshua with the parasha of Rachav. They realized that the people of Israel about to enter into the land from the Midbar and conquer the land. So what do? They hide in the hollows and the caves on both sides of this Nachal Arnon, in two mountains that tower above this valley. And now they have a great ambush. They're going to kill the people of Israel with arrows and with the gigantic stones. Everything is prepared. And an amazing miracle takes place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already going to destroy the enemies. Now, according to what we're reading here, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them even before Bnei Yisrael entered into the Nachal. I'm not sure exactly the chronological sequence. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hikdim refuah l'makah. Before the makah, he already gives us the cure. Kvar b'shas b'riyas ha'olam. Oh, so here he has a beautiful medrash that says that God prepared this even as early as the time of creation. He set up two mountains. One would have protrusions, the other would have hollows, and one would be near the other, so that the two mountains come together, and as a result of coming together, that would foil the plans of the enemies and save the Jewish people. What do you say?
They did go through, but after they got killed.
You mean it went together and then it split again?
No, I don't know if it ever split again. I'm not sure. It seems like the blood of the enemies sort of flowed down, but the people of Israel were able to have clear passage now through Nachal Arnon. If I understand correctly, he's saying that this miracle took place actually before they entered into the Nachal, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim refuah l'makah.
When he created the mountains in Babylon.
And he created the mountains already at the time of creation in order to anticipate this great miracle. He laid the groundwork, so to speak, for this great miracle.
Sorry, I don't get it. It means when they go together, it eliminates the Nachal, right?
No, I don't know if it eliminates the Nachal, because this happened on the higher levels, so they were still able to go through the Nachal.
Under, right. On top.
In a sense, they were covered by these two mountains that now became one mountain. There's like a chuppah, so to speak, on top of them.
Right. Well, unless he killed them beforehand and then separated the mountains after they were right there. They
possibly, I don't know that's so.
And we're here. Geographically, it would be the Arava between the Negev on the one side and the mountains of southern Jordan on the other, which is Har Moav. So I don't know. But it's difficult to talk from one mountain to another.
Right. He's talking about two mountains that are so close to each other. He says the following, that it's amazing because the Jewish people are really moving towards a very disastrous situation without even being aware of it. They think that they have a clear passage through Arvos Moav, and they're going to the Nachal Arnon. They're about to enter into the land. Little do they know that the enemy has caught them in a very dangerous ambush. And the miracle is that when the mountain on the Eretz Yisrael side heard, it sensed, so to speak, the Jewish people on their way coming closer, the mountain shook, and then it moved in the direction of the other mountain. So now we're going to look at the bottom left on page 1, and he says the following. We can't even imagine the excitement of the Memorium as they're about to start killing, shooting their arrows on the Jewish people. They are, in a sense, proud of their achievements. They're situated and located in a way that they can defeat the Jewish people before they cross the border and enter into Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, boom, they are absolutely defeated and crushed. Yatza chutz milamechitzasa l'schaber in har moav. The mountain went out of its mechitza, meaning its boundaries, in order to achieve this miracle. And Rashi says the following, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi modia lebanai anisim halolo. I have to notify the people of this great miracle. Li'achar she'ovru. Oh, here's what, Larry, what you were saying before. You saw this already?
I know.
Unbelievable. You were machabing to Rashi. Rashi says, Li'achar she'ovru, chazru ha'horim le'mekomam. The mountains went back to their place. Not the way I said it before, that it was a connection of a sort of like a roof over their heads. Va'be'er yardol etocha nachal ve'alosa misham dam harugim. So the flowing waters coming out of this well would wash away all of the body parts and the blood of the enemies. Umolicham saviv lamachne. So the water would wash it up on the side of the encampment of Israel. The Yisrael row, and they saw the destruction of their enemies, via Amru Shira. Now, the very next parasha here is the Shira, the song. Where is it? What pasuk is it? Does he tell you which pasuk it is?
Just one second.
Okay, we'll find it inside. Oh, here it is, Yud Zayin. It says, Oz Yashir Yisrael Es Hashira Zos, and it's all about the Be'er. So Rashi says that they were able to sing this song because they became aware of the great miracle that saved their lives. The entire people of Israel, 3 million strong, was saved by this great miracle, and they perceived the miracle because of this be'er that washed away the parts, and they were able to see it. It's almost, in a sense, parallel to the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, where again, they saw the Yamsuf brought the Mitzrim over to the side. He wants to know the following. This is on page 2. We have a Hisbonus. He says we have to sort of investigate this great miracle. Ki Norahu, it's an awesome miracle. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, already at the time of creation, set up these two mountains, one mul the other, one next to the other, in order to save Klal Yisrael b'derech nes, that these two mountains would connect each other, and one mountain is in Eretz Yisrael and the other mountain is in Eretz Moav in order to destroy the Amorim? What is the significance, he says, of this particular way of destroying our enemies. Why did God see in his wisdom that this is the way to bring about the salvation of the Jewish people? Is there something deeper below the surface in this great miracle of the two mountains joining together, one from Moab and one from Eretz Yisrael? So that's question number one, to see if we can discover a shed a new light on the nature of this miracle and why it was structured and brought about in this particular fashion. I don't want to.
This is
right before they enter into the land.
But it's Moshe still, not Yoshua.
Right, we're still with Moshe. And maybe
still going to get to the other side and not yet be in Israel.
Well, I think on the other side of these two mountains is already the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu is about to take them into the land. So let's see if we can get a little bit more of a picture of what's going on. He says the second question I want to ask is, let's try to understand the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says Es Vav Besufa, and we're referring to the Sholem V'Ava Sheshore Besofa Sheldover Bein Talmidei Chachomim Sheoskim B'Torah. So let's see the deeper significance of this pasuk. The Es Vav Besufa. The Gemara says the following: Lo yavoshu ki yedabru es oyvehem b'shar. The Gemara in Masechet Kedushin wants to know, what are these oyvim b'shar? What does it mean when the pasuk refers to enemies at the gate? Who are these enemies at the gate? These are the enemies of those who study Torah, and they study in one gate, and they fight each other. There's a battle. This is called Milchamta Shel Torah. V'einom zozim misham, but they don't leave. You know, they don't terminate this battle. Ashenasim oavim zelazeh. They become lovers, so to speak. They have mutual respect and honor and love for each other. And the Gemara derives this from the pasuk that we just read here, which is Es Vav Bisufa. Al tikri bisufa el bisofa. So vav, if you remember, means giving. When one person gives to the other, that's what Rashi said. Miloshon yav, and bisufa is referring to sofa. So at the end of this whole process of milchamta, the battle of Torah, what we have is at the end a mutual love and respect. So let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk. It says al kain yamer b'sefer milchavas Hashem. On a deeper level, because Torah can be understood in so many different levels, there's a book called Milchamas Hashem. That battle for the sake of God is the battle of Torah. When two scholars, or X number of scholars, are battling, and each one has his own view, his own opinion, that's called Milchamos Hashem. And the end of the pasuk is Vesya Vav Vesufa, which means that they become Oavim Zelos, that they become lovers. So let's understand, what is the relationship between this great miracle that takes place when the two mountains crush the Amorites when they come together, and the idea of the great scholars that at the end of their battle, the long Milchamas Hashem, they become Oavim. In order to understand this, let's go back to Parshas Bishalach. Oz Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael Sashir Azos Hashem Vayomer Leimar. Rashi says the following: where do we find the resurrection of the dead in the Torah? Oz Yashir Moshe. The word Oz is a reference to the future, and that's an allusion to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. It doesn't say in the pasuk Oz Shar Moshe. That's when he sang the song or Bnei Yisrael, but rather Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir, they will sing, is an allusion to Tchias HaMesim, the time of the resurrection. Rashi goes on a step further. Oz Yashir Yisrael et Hashira Zot Ali Be'er Enula. It means that in the future, the people of Israel will sing another song, and that would be the song of the Be'er. It would seem that there is some sort of connection between these two miracles, the miracle of Shiras Hayom and the miracle at the Be'er, at the well. So although at the first miracle at the Yam Suf, they're already singing a song. But Az Yashir, the Torah is already anticipating that they'll be singing a second song when a second miracle takes place. So there's already a connection here between the first and the second miracle. I mean, we saw that really in the verse itself, the fact that both miracles are quoted in the same verse. So now he introduces Rabbeinu Bachai. Are you familiar with Rabbeinu Bachai? He's one of the great commentaries on the Torah. He lived in Spain almost 1,000 years ago, and a lot of his commentary is a revelation of the secrets of the Torah. So what does he say? He talks about the fact that there were 42 encampments during the years of the Midbar. The number of Masa'im, meaning of encampments in which they traveled and they camped, is 42. And he says the following, that the ultimate redemption at the end of time is going to be the culmination of a process of exile that has 42 parts to it, meaning there are 42 major locations where the people of Israel will be stuck, so to speak, in an exile. And he writes the following: the Od Yichlol Sipur Hamasos To Elas Acheros Ki Yirmos Liosid. Why is the Torah going to give us in Sefer Bamidbar a list, an enumerated, detailed list of all the places that the Jewish people encamped during the 40 years in the Midbar, 42 different places? It's all to foresee the future. And it means that Divrei HaNeviim Kula Mochichim Shagula Achronik Dimyon HaRishon, that the ultimate redemption is going to be a mirror image of the first redemption. Kishem Sheyotzu Yisrael B'Geula Rishonu B'Mitzrayim Al HaMidbar, just like in the first redemption, the people of Israel left, they exited from Mitzrayim and they went into the desert. Kach so too B'Geula HaChrona Asidim Sheyetzu Harbe Yisrael Al HaMidbar, many of the Jewish people go out to a desert. V'Yavru B'Mkomos HaElu, they'll go through all these different exiles. God will supervise their experience in Golus, until finally, at the end of this entire despairing or dark period of Jewish history, then there will be a fulfillment of Yechezkel's prophecy, Ve'vesim Eschem El Midbar Amim, and it's talking about the ultimate Geula. So the Midbar here of the 40 years of the desert for the Jewish people is now symbolic of the 42 dimensions or segments or locations of the exile. And just like at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, the people of Israel were taken into the land, so too at the time of the ultimate Geula, which means the Geula Asida, Klal Yisrael will exit from the Midbar, from the wilderness of 42 different places where they experience the diaspora, and then they will finally enter into Eretz Yisrael. This is the thesis of Rabbeinu Bachai. And perhaps we could shed a light on this Rabbeinu Bachai based on a medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu dying in the Midbar. And he says the following: how great is your achievement that you took 600,000 Jews out of Mitzrayim? V'kavartam b'midbar v'ata machnis dar acher. They died in the Midbar, that's in the aftermath of Chet Hamaraglim, and now a different generation is going to enter into the land. Achshav yomru ein l'dar ha-midbar chelik li'olam haba. Perhaps somebody would come along and say, maybe the generation in the Midbar will lose their portion in the next world. Ela tehe batzron v'tavo imahem. You will remain in the Midbar rather than go into the land of Israel, and therefore you will bring them into the ultimate geula at the time of the ultimate redemption. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, is left behind together with the entire generation of the Midbar in order to lead them ultimately into the land of Israel at the time of the Geula Asida. Hein karvu yamech lamus kevan shekibel alav lamus hiskal hakadosh mefaras amal chayecha Ba'olam azeh hinhatas banai. God comes to console Moshe that he's about to die, and he says, just like you have guided the people and led them during your lifetime in the Midbar, aflasid lavo al yodcha, you will be the leader to guide the people. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to play a major role in the ultimate redemption. We think that Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, he's off the face of history. No. Moshe Rabbeinu, just like he was the Goel, he was the Redeemer of Israel at the time that they left Mitzrayim, so too, he will be the Redeemer of Israel at the time of the ultimate redemption. And he says the following, if you look in Koheles, this is on the top left column, it says, Masha Haya Hu Shiye. That's a statement of Shlomo HaMelech. And if you look at the first letter of each of these words, it spells Moshe. Masha Haya Hu Shiye. Rashi Tevos Moshe. In other words, just as it was Mashayah in the past, in the first Geula of Mitzrayim, that's the way it's going to be in the ultimate Geula. It's going to be Moshe at the helm. He's going to lead us in. Now, at first glance, this is not so simple. God promises that Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda, that ultimately the Mashiach will come from the Davidic lineage, right, from the dynasty of David HaMelech, that's Shevet Yehuda, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes from Shevet Levi. So apparently, we're going to have to assume that in addition to the Mashiach who will come from David, there'll be another Mashiach that will come for Klal Yisrael. But I don't know. He says that Mashiach, based on the Shallah, is going to be Mashiach ben Yosef, and he derives this from a pasuk Ad Ki Yovo Shilo, and he says Da Moshe Chushbina Da Kada. In other words, Shilo is the same numerical value as Moshe. So what does this mean? How could we identify Moshe as the ultimate redeemer when we know that the ultimate redeemer is Mashiach, and Mashiach is going to be Mashiach ben David.
Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't come from Shevet Levi.
Well, Yosef is a Shevet, and we have Ephraim and Menashe, but we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So how does this fit in? You know, if you're going to talk about a partnership between Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, and then it says Ad Kishi Yavo Shilo, and Shilo is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we just saw in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to console Moshe Rabbeinu, that he'll be the, just like he was the leader of the first Geula, he'll be the leader of the ultimate Geula. How does this make any sense? So he quotes the Archaim HaKadosh, and he says the following. Again, this is very mystical. I'm going to underline this. He says, Nishmas Mashiach Tia Klula Mi David HaMelech Umoshe Rabbeinu. According to the Archaim, who lived 5 centuries ago, or a little bit less, in Tzfat, the Neshama of the Mashiach will be some sort of synthesis and integration between David and Moshe. Nimtza, so what does it mean? Lefi zeki liosid lo betchias habmesim yikach Moshe imo es kol dar haMidbar. Ah, I see what he's going on. He's going to claim that the dar haMidbar that died in the Midbar and were buried in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead them at the time of tchias habmesim, and yavru be osam mem beis masol she'avri sovitis Mitzrayim. He's going to take them step by step through every single location that they went through in the Midbar, and he's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but lama l'shema yitzarif HaKadosh Baruch Aleim liyosu lovu gam es elu sheyotzu me'agolios sheyavru derech haMidbar li'Eretz Yisrael. So we understand that the people who died in the Midbar will be led by Moshe Rabbeinu through those 42 Masos to Eretz Yisrael. But not only that, it seems that Lasid Lavo, even those who were later generations and experienced the exiles, they too will go in those same 42 masos, at least according to the Rabbeinu Bachai that we saw before. So let's look at the Medrash in Vayikra. It says the following: Hisnabe hanovi ala geula asida ki Torah meiti teitze. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah chadosha meiti teitze, chidushe Torah meiti teitze. In other words, at the end of time, God will reveal secrets of the Torah. He will remove all the barriers that prevent us from understanding the Torah. And we'll have a Torah Chadosha. In other words, we'll now have a clear perception of the profundities of Torah. Nimtzel lefi ze, ki liyosid lavo, nizke lahasig giluyim chadoshim. At the end of time, we will see new revelations in Torah. Al kol anisim v'niflo she'osi mona kodesh baruch hu yisid tzar kriyas yamsuf. And perhaps we'll have even an insight into the great miracles that we never had before. Hine ki chen mitam ze yisov ha-kodesh baruch hu she'yavu Yisrael v'geula ha-sid ha-shuv v'osam ha-mekomos. We will re-experience this trek through the 42 encampments in the Midbar when they left Mitzrayim, so that now we'll see a new perspective on every single location. We'll begin to re-evaluate and re-appreciate in a new way all the miracles that transpired during those 42 masos in the Midbar. Umitam zeh, and as a result, Yashiru Yisrael Shuv Eshiras Hayom Veshiras HaBe'er. So in other words, after the resurrection, at the end of time, we're going to go through the 42 masos in the Midbar, and we're going to see all these locations where great miracles transpire. We're going to have a new insight when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the deeper meaning of these miracles, and we'll have a new appreciation that's going to bring us to a new Shira. We will again sing Oz Yashir, the Shira of the Yam, because we'll appreciate that miracle on a deeper level. And also, as we saw, the Shiras HaYam is a reference, is an allusion to the Shiras HaBe'er, which means the great miracle that took place at Arnon, at Nachal Arnon. And he says the following: we can get a little bit of a glimpse of what the deeper meaning of these two mountains are. Remember, there was one mountain that was in Eretz Yisrael, the other mountain was on the side of Moab. And they will crush the Amorim when they join together. And we can understand this based on a statement in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Asida Yerushalayim Lios Ke Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael Kechol HaOlam. Wow, this is unbelievable. The size of Yerushalayim, again, I don't know if we want to take this literally or symbolically, I can't tell you, but if we take it literally, the size of Yerushalayim will be equal to all of Eretz Yisrael. That is, Yerushalayim will expand to encompass the whole land, and Eretz Yisrael will expand to encompass the whole world. In other words, Eretz Yisrael, nikvitzu yachad kol kach harbe kedusha, there'll be so much sanctity in the land of Israel that it's going to spill over, and the overflow will sanctify the entire world. Before the ultimate geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constricted and limited the kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is the focal point of all the sanctity, and that's going to give a kiyum. He says that's going to somehow all that sanctity that's focused in the hub of the universe, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, that's going to spread and give life and sustenance to the Jewish people in all the places of the Golus, amongst the nations, as they spread amongst the nations of the world. And he says, Ki im haisa kedusha shel Eretz Yisrael, if the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael would spread throughout the whole world, be osa otzma shetispashet li osid lovo, lo hayashum makom lekiyum kochos hamisnagdim lekedusha shel. So during the period of galut, of exile, God wanted there to be anti-powers, you know, forces that would adversely affect the sanctity. They would be challenges to the people of Israel. So at that point, for the entire flow of history, God would not allow the sanctity of Israel to spread. But only at the end of days, at the time of the Geula, then the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael will spread and will encompass the entire world. If this be the case, then he says, Zeu Inyon, maybe this explains, or shall we say, sheds a light on the fact that God already at the time of creation already set in motion and set in place this great miracle of the two mountains which are next to each other, one connected to the other one. The mountain that's on the Eretz Yisrael side has these protrusions, and Hanitzavim Mamish Mul Nekikim, and they're set up and organized exactly parallel to the, you could draw a straight line to the hollows of the Tzad that's on Eretz Moav, or the mountain that's on the Moavite side, and eventually they will come together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach us in the middle column on page 3 that in Eretz Yisrael there is such an abundance of Kedusha that's latent in the land, and ultimately that sanctity will burst forward and it'll be like these protrusions that are bursting forward from the Gvulos, from the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. Right, again we said that the protrusions are on the side of Eretz Yisrael, and on the other side in the mountain of Moav, that's Chutz Laretz, that represents the contamination of the nations of Golus in the diaspora, which is antithetical. It's an antithetical force to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So these two forces are poised one against the other, and this is going to continue until finally the moment will come when the Amorim will come to this Har, and that will represent symbolically the Oivim, all the adversaries who want to undermine Kedusha, the sanctity of Israel. But Liosid Lavo, Asida Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel and all its sanctity will spread throughout all the nations of the world, all the locations on the globe. And what that means is that all these hollows, which represent the absence of sanctity, will now be filled by these protrusions, which are the expansions of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael from the mountain in Israel. And as a result, Yimchatsu Kochos HaTumah, all the forces of contamination, of evil, will be destroyed, and they will be turned into Resisim, into small fragments. That's going to be this the impact of the two mountains together. And that's what the pasuk means when it says Dorach Kochav miYaakov v'kom shevet miYisrael u'machatz pasei Moav. Machatz means to crush. It will crush the leaders of Moav and its people. So this hischabrus, this chibur between the two mountains, is what we call Poel Dimyon. Are you familiar with Poel Dimyon? We're running out of time, so I'll just say it very quickly. When a prophet prophesizes, then there has to be some, I'm talking about a good prophecy, right, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, a divine promise, there has to be some sort of action in this physical world which will clinch the prophecy and guarantee that it will be fulfilled. So if you have a divine promise and you may say, well, maybe we'll sin, and as a result, we don't deserve that the fulfillment of that promise. But if that divine promise was acted out, that's called a Poel HaDimyon. When you act it out with some sort of symbolic action in this world, that clinches and guarantees the fulfillment of that prophecy. This is all based on the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. So now we could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, as we saw in Yechezkel HaNavi, at the time of the ultimate Geula, that the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael will spread throughout the entire universe. Well, that promise is a nevuah of the prophets, but it has to be acted out in some physical way in order to have a Poel HaDimyon. And that's going to be acted out, number one, through the 42 Masos, which Rabbi Nebuchai says is a prophetic foreteller of what's going to happen when the Jewish people go into Golus. They are sent into exile from Rome and from all the places in which there was a Churban HaBayis, and then they go out to 42 different locations in the Golus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us a Paul Dimyon of what's going to happen at the time of the ultimate Geula, when there'll be a chibur, a connection between these two great mountains, one mountain of Eretz Yisrael that's going to enter into the mountain of Moav in Chutz Laretz, which represents the Hispashtus HaKadusha, when the sanctity will overflow from Eretz Yisrael to encompass the entire world. So what we're seeing here is not just a miracle of that's to be understood on a simple level of saving the people of Israel, but it's also a symbol of the ultimate Geula. And the people of Israel were taken in the Midbar through these 42 Masos. Now they're ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael. At the culmination of these two 42 Masos, the exile terminates, and this is going to be repeated through the history of Klal Yisrael, that the Jewish people will enter into 42 locations. I wish I had a list of those 42, but Rabbeinu Bachai doesn't give them. I'm sure Spain is on the list. And as a result, at the end of these 42 Golios, there will be an entry into Eretz Yisrael, and the great miracle that takes place in the Midbar at the culmination of these 40 years, when they're about to enter into the land of the mountains, that symbolically is the Poel Dimyon that's going to guarantee that at the time of the ultimate Geula, we're going to have this Pashtus of Eretz Yisrael, of the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael that's going to spread throughout the entire world.
So Chutz Laretz people don't have to make Aliyah to just...
Well, I think what he's saying is that Umola Haaretz Deos Hashem, meaning that that all the people living in the far-flung corners of the universe will appreciate and recognize God as a result of this pashtus of Kedusha. Uh-huh. I don't think he means to replace the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that Kedusha still remains the hub, if you will, you know, the center from which emanates the Kedusha.
Because in addition to the Dor HaMidbar, we had so many great tzaddikim who lived in the diaspora and never got to Israel. So how are they going to be resurrected?
So I don't know enough about the resurrection to answer that, but what I do know, in the 4 or 5 minutes that we have left, we're going to fast forward because we're running out of time, to page 4. And if you take a look on the last page, he says that this parsha that we're reading here in Chukas, Es Vav Kisufa, Besufa, which the Gemara in Kedushin says symbolizes the great experience of clarifying the Torah, when originally we start with a battle amongst the Talmidei Chachamim, and finally at the end of the day, it's going to be Besufa, at the end they become Oevim, Zezeh. All this belongs to the symbolism of the ultimate Geula. And why is that so? So if you remember, we said that number one, there would be Hispashtus HaKadosh of Eretz Yisrael at the time of the ultimate Geula. But beyond that, we said that God promises that there'll be a Torah Chadasha, there'll be some sort of brilliant and profound insight into the secrets of the Torah. There are things in the Torah that we don't understand, and there are various barriers that prevent us from really clarifying these parts of the Torah. And all those dark barriers that prevent us from clarity of vision will be removed. Now we can say that Es Vav Besofa, meaning that at the end of the day there's going to be Vav, which we said is the love of the Talmidei Chachamim. That is again a nevuah, kind of prophecy, that foretells what's going to happen at the end of time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Torah Chadasha Me'iti. So if you look for a moment in the last two paragraphs of this essay, again we're skipping a few pieces, which if you have time maybe you'll get a chance to go through them on your own. We don't have time now, but he says the following, that the great scholars of Israel are endowed with a very special power, which is derived from a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, "Ushmartem es mishmarti, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti." In other words, this part of the Torah that's given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then God gives authority to the Chachamim to create a mishmeres. He calls it Gzeira sheyigdu gdorim l'shmiras haTorah. That's what we call Torah Shebal Peh. So we have the Torah Shebichsav, which is set and engraved in stone, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah Shebichtav, he says, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael Eretz Yisrael B'bchinas Yerusha Kifi Godla HaTivi Shekavua V'kaime. He says that there's the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and that's a limited Kedusha, but he says that there's also, so, and that Kedusha parallels the Torah Shebichtav, but there's also a different Kedusha, a different sanctity, and that's Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh means to take the Torah and break through the boundaries of Torah and bring Torah way beyond the narrow boundaries. He calls it Hisrakvus Hagvulos Shalat Torah Vamitzvus B'Tosefes Meruba. That's the power of Torah Shebal Peh, to take the Torah and broaden it way beyond its boundaries. And this is going to be the ultimate goal and gift of Eretz Yisrael. That at the time of the ultimate Geula, God says, Ki Torah Me'iti Teitze, there's going to be a new Torah. And what that means is that we're going to appreciate the expanse of Torah Shebal Peh. That expanse of Torah Shebal Peh, which goes beyond the bounds, that is symbolic of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is going to expand beyond the borders of Eretz Yisrael and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Bechol Machom. And that's going to be Kimola Oretz Deyas Hashem, the Pasuk in Yeshayah that I mentioned before. So just to summarize, the main point is that this whole parasha that tells of miracles that we didn't even know existed, and they're hinted at, is a parasha that should be understood on two levels. On one level, we have to be mesapir b'niflos Hashem. We have to learn this parasha and appreciate the great miracles of Hashem, that Hashem already from the time of creation set it up in such a way that the people of Israel would be saved and spared from the Amorites. But it also should be understood on a different level as symbolic of the ultimate geula, that we go through the 42 masos, and during the exile, we're going to go through these 42 exiles, and then we reach Eretz Yisrael. At the point of the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, God is going to reveal Himself with a great miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be part of the whole Mashiach experience, and that's what we're waiting for, to see the fulfillment of that great nevuah. V'meir v'yameinu, amen. Thank you so much. By the way, if you'll let me know beforehand, I would, you know, there are different people. Some people like to go through it with the text, other people like it more about Pem. My wife says I should teach more about Pem, less than the text. So you let me know in case you want to come again, what you prefer. You know.
We like text.
Okay.
Do you want to take the talk, or do you want us to leave it?
If you want to just leave, either take it or leave it, whichever way. I don't mind.
Okay, thank you.
It's a gift for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And happy birthday again.
Yeah, thanks.
Have a good
I'm